Bit of mind easement.
A little bit of mind easement.
Just what the doctor ordered.
And the fish coach, Josh Olive, Captain Josh Olive, in the chair across from me. We got RJ in command and control, the golden and chrome towers of powers there, looking down above us, keeping us straight.
Yeah, Frank, it looks like your hair is starting to thin a little bit on the top there.
Thin a little bit?
Starting?
I'm feeling like Friar Tuck here nowadays. I mean, let me get close to the mic so you guys can see me. When you know, look, I mean, talk about wrinkled and beat up. And, you know, my mom passed away last night, and we're here. And one of the most amazing things, you know, it was very nice. Tuesday afternoon, she just started getting real sleepy. My sister calls me and head over to the house, and she just couldn't, she wasn't communicating. She just got really tired. And then Wednesday during the day, and all the family came, and she's talking to everybody, you know, kind of like if you're talking to somebody half asleep. Not, you know what I mean?
Not quite with it.
But talking, and, you know, my daughter got to talk to her, and, you know, everybody got to spend some time with her. A lot of the family was there. And it was, then one, she just slept away late last night. She decided I'm gonna stay sleeping.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, you can't ask for better as deaths go.
Oh my gosh, that was really nice. And I feel unbelievably, you know, lucky that everything, you know, people always say things, but the best phrase I can think of is you always hope things go as well as possible.
Right.
That's, to me,
there's no getting away from the fact that we're all going to die. It's got to happen.
You ain't getting out of this alive.
But if it's got to happen, then that's the way to have it happen right there.
And then to be able to come and spend time today with about 3 hours worth of sleep. And the night before, I had to open the store, you know, get people on vacation, people sick and all that. And so I got about 4 hours sleep. So, but to be able to come in here today and my awesome friends, and RJ, one of my best friends here, has a Irish whiskey. Now, explain to me what, I like knowing what I'm drinking.
Well, this is Sexton, and it's made in Belfast. It's made primarily with molasses, and they don't roast the barley before they ferment it.
It's got a nice smell to it.
And it'll knock you on your little round butt, let me tell you. But it's a very rare.
I wish I still had a little round butt.
I was going to say, it might knock me on my round butt. It's knocking Frank right where it's flat.
Right, so, right.
But for my part of it, I just want to say goodbye to my mother. And thank you for my amazing friends. This is awesome.
I'll drink to that.
Thank you, guys.
Whoa.
Holy crap. That's got a wonderful flavor to it.
It's delicious.
But it's got an afterburner effect. I feel like I'm in that movie with, you know, Tom Cruise getting afterburners right here.
You got a lighter? Let me see if we can set your breath on fire.
That ain't the fire I'm worried about. But anyway, so yes, I did. My father passed away a couple of months ago, and my mom just passed away. Not uncommon when people have been together 60-some years. I think it was 64 years.
Wow. Now that you're an orphan, are you looking for someone to adopt you?
I thought you were going to do that.
I've got an empty 55-gallon tank at home. I guess we can work something out.
Yeah. Put a little gravel in there, give me a little rock house so I can play in.
Yeah, cypress mulch. I'll switch it out once a week.
You know, life changes a lot for everybody. And segueing into this is a fishing show. I always want you guys to know what's going on. And, you know, sometimes I'm a good guy, sometimes I'm not so good a guy. But I want you to understand, you know, what life is like, you know, for us, so you can get to know us a little bit. And one of the things that I've got here is this huge selection of hooks. I don't know, RJ, can you come down just to look at some of this stuff? See.
Yeah, I'll come down. I'll open up mic number three.
You know, down the stairs he comes. You know, he doesn't even use the elevators when he comes down. He likes the stairs. It's more intimidating. What I did was go around because I walked around on the store and I looked and I said, you know, we literally have, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of hooks to choose from.
There is a wall of hooks. The wall is 30 feet long and 8 feet tall. So there's just a huge variety of hooks. And that doesn't even include all the jig heads that are on another wall. So
yeah.
It's enormous.
But everybody has a hook they kind of like. And what I wanted to do is, you know, last week I talked about, you know, a fishing trip I had. But changing your rigs, we talked about, and how I was so stupid that I didn't even follow my own rules. I'm out there fishing. I probably would have had a great day if I would have remembered the golden rule. In this year, in 2020, pick a spot, fish it for 20 minutes with the way you rigged. Before you move to the next spot, change your rig. If you're using freeline, go to sinkers. If you got sinkers, go to freeline or bobber. Change it up. See what the fish want, not how you think they should be fished for, but how they actually want to bite. And last fall, on a similar fishing trip, I was catching more fish on black, and chartreuse was a close second hook color. Now, there's so many hook colors to choose from. This time, the fish were caught predominantly on pink hooks.
Pink.
And pink hooks, these right there. Now, we think about lure color, and we even go over with people a lot about line colors. But hook colors is kind of an over-miss thing. You know, you've got people who just use black hooks. That's because that's the hook I use. What? What do you think of these hooks, Josh? Or RJ, you're sitting right there. Which one is the most intriguing for you?
Well, if you go by color...
intriguing is an odd term here, but okay.
Yeah, what color would you say that is?
Red.
That's a red.
Yeah.
And it's a shiny metallic red. So, you know, those of us that are into heavy metal, like, these are the hooks you want.
Right.
And when they first came out, now what we're looking at here is a VMC Fast Grip Octopus hook, a 7109 TR, you know, red tin, which is a very bright finish red hook. The neat part about these is when they first came out, it was amazing how many fish they caught. I don't think the fish had ever seen red hooks before. So it was just a...
Well, but this goes along with my jig head theory, which is that any color is fine as long as it's red. Red is the color of injury. Red is the color of blood. Red is the color of something that is leaking essential internal fluids and is going to be easy to catch as a result. So
okay. Fish
love red.
Now, what was the intriguing part about just the color?
Well, yeah, it's a shiny red. It's not just like red. It's a shiny metallic red. So you've got some flash to it, and you got the red color, and that's what drew me to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly had not thought of that aspect of it, the kind of mirror finish red with it, but actually, really good point. Josh, you're the fish coach. What's the most intriguing hook you can see here?
Well, the most intriguing hook is also the least practical.
Okay.
One that I've used before and found that it's pretty much a gimmick. It's an interesting gimmick.
Excuse me. Please, sir, can I have some more, sir? I do have to drive, so I'm going to limit myself to one more. But what is the name of this stuff?
Sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N.
I got to tell you, that it leaves that thing in the back of your throat, and you're like, well, you know, that was really pretty good. I'm really kind of enjoying that. You know?
Well, here, have another.
Once the burn settles down, it's...
Yeah, just... There's just wonderful after flavor.
It is one of the finest of the Irish whiskeys, of the boutique Irish whiskeys.
All right. So, Josh, you're...
I'm holding the live shrimp holder hook, the patented live shrimp holder hook, the one and only live shrimp holder hook since 1975. And I believe there's a reason that nobody else has ever tried to cash in on this idea of a double hook that holds a shrimp in place.
Well, what this hook does, it has, you ever see these, RJ?
Yes.
Yeah, this little plastic ring there with the spring in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You put the plastic ring over the horn of the shrimp, and as you compress the spring, now the hooks go up. There's a little tiny metal clip there, and what that's going to do is hook the back of the carapace, the shrimp's head. So you put the little plastic ring right over the horn, you pull it back, and it spring locks to the top of the shrimp. So you're not piercing the shrimp, you're not putting a hole in him, he's not wounded. And I'm one of the very few stores who carries them, because I'm one of the very few bait shop owners that's old enough to remember them. But I don't believe just because it's new, it's wonderful. Sometimes the old stuff, you know, like me, I still work pretty good, and I'm old. But isn't that a cool idea? You never injure the shrimp. Now,
an interesting idea. I have used these before when I first started fishing in saltwater and moved over from using shiners in freshwater. And I found that while they did do a fairly middling job of holding a shrimp in place and keeping it alive, it was difficult to get fish to actually become hooked on this rig.
Really?
Yeah. No problem getting them to eat it, but just a hard time with actually hooking fish. It intrigues me now for an additional reason, which is that since this is two hook points attached to a common shank, this may be illegal for fishing with live bait for a lot of species.
For some species, it absolutely is. You're not allowed to, like snook for instance, use live or natural bait in conjunction with multiple hooks.
And a multiple hook doesn't mean that you have more than one hook. It means you have more than one point on a common shank. So
exactly.
A treble hook is a multiple hook. That probably is, too.
And it very well could be. But it is legal for many species. And it is kind of cool. And I do carry them in my tackle box, because there's just sometimes the hook ends up being kind of middle of the head, because it's hooking back on the carapace and the points go forward. So for sheephead, it's not a great deal, because sheephead want to bite anywhere there's not a hook.
Right.
But for jacks, trout, things like that, it really, to me, works very well.
And you could be right, but it also is the same price as a whole pack of these more standard hooks.
Yeah, for one hook. But, you know, let's say you're from a big city, and life to you is nothing but a Disney movie, but you've steeled yourself, you're going to fish. Now, you don't have to put a hook in a hole in a shrimp to fish. So it's kind of cool that way. But we're going to move on. That let me see. I'll get you the name of that one. Live Shrimp Holder Hook. Yep, that's the actual name. Live yep. Shrimp Holder Hook.
Patented.
Patented. Yes, it is. Somebody spent like $15,000 to patent that thing. I don't think they had to worry about a lot of imitators.
No, I don't think so.
But, all right. What's up next, RJ?
We have the Glow Resin Octopus, and it's a hook with a little bit of glowing plastic right up by the eye of the hook.
Well, it's about halfway between the bend and the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I bought these for a very specific reason. They're actually glow-in-the-dark rosin on there, so
yeah.
You actually get a bit of glow off of it. But why would I buy that, Josh?
I honestly am not sure.
Because
right. I can't think of a reason why I should buy it. So
why I bought that was for people fishing thread fins, greenbacks, and even freshwater shiners as bait.
Oh, okay.
Because
so you don't want them sliding up.
Yeah, this little glow bead there, it's a Rapala hook, a Rapala hook, but they bill it as like a attractant for the fish. Absolutely don't care about that. But when you have a bait fish on, hooks have a tendency of going too far in, and then the point comes back and buries itself in the fish, and which makes hook sets pretty much impossible. This helps limit the amount of times a bait fish can rehook itself, making it useless for catching fish. So you get a much more, with greenbacks, thread fins, even some of the mullet and other things, smaller baits. Anytime you have a fish, something that's really moving around the hook a lot, you don't want the point to go through and then come around and stick back into the bait.
As an off-the-shelf solution to that problem, yes, I can see it. But again, I'm looking at cost effectiveness here. At $5 for two hooks, I can buy a lot of hooks and I can buy a lot of little soft plastic beads that I can slip onto the hook.
Soft plastic beads, little O-rings, all kinds of stuff. But the one thing this hook has done better than a lot of things is people ask me, what the hell is this for? Why am I buying this thing?
So you get the chance to explain, because it is an off-the-shelf solution.
So I get to explain to them why I purchased it, why they would maybe want to do it, and then I give them the other options that they can use, the soft beads, the O-rings, and explain to them how you keep these problems from happening. So as a conversation starter, I guess you would say?
I totally get it. But as something to actually use, you know, RJ, they make those little beads that you could slip on there very easily in glow-in-the-dark.
So yeah, they got them at the dollar store. You can make necklaces with them.
Well, I don't know if I would go that
far. I don't actually think they do.
I want the ones that are actually made for fishing.
Oh, okay.
A fishing bead, a proper fishing bead.
A proper fishing bead.
But I don't know if you can do
that. Now, just on the side about things that glow underwater.
Yeah.
There was this discussion for years at Boca Grande about using something that glows to help you attract tarpon to your bait, especially when you're fishing Lighthouse Hole and the deeper parts of the pass.
They've had the same conversation about walleye, halibut,
yes,
sailfish.
Shark, I mean, the whole bit.
I don't think there's a fish somebody at one point hasn't touted glow in the dark. This is the greatest thing ever. Well, you're always going to catch fish.
Here's an experiment that some of you probably don't have the opportunity to do, but if you do, it's kind of neat. Go into your favorite tackle shop and shut off all the lights and look around and see what's glowing back at you.
Actually, I'm going to ask you please not to do that.
That's why I said most people can't. But every night when we close up the shop and you look around at all the soft plastics and some of the hard baits and some of the hooks that are glowing back at you from the walls.
It looks like Halloween at Fish and Frank's every night.
It's almost enough to light it up again. So
it's crazy how much glow-in-the-dark stuff there is. Now, RJ, do you believe the glow beads or the glow sticks and all that? Do you think that's a fish enhancement, a fish going to help them catch fish?
I've caught less fish using things like glow sticks and things like that. I'm reasonably convinced that fish aren't interested in that.
So we got one for no. Josh, you're?
Well, the fact that fish are attracted to light, and not just fish, but all kinds of critters are attracted to light over or in the water, would tend to lead me otherwise. I'm not sure if it's that they're attracted to something that they think they're going to eat, or if they're just drawn to, hey, what's that glowing thing over there? Oh, wait a minute, it looks like it might be edible. And then they're going to go after it. So I don't think that it's a magic bullet, but I certainly don't think it's going to repel fish.
All right. I'm going to take this to something a little different. We have naturally occurring phosphorus in the water. Now, keep in mind, many words sound the same or similar. I did not say phosphate. I said phosphorus.
Well, it's actually not phosphorus. It's phosphorescence.
Phosphorescent. Okay. But it's not phosphorus.
Well,
It's not the phosphate mine.
It's from phosphate-based compounds that are inside of small living creatures. Phosphorescence is the glow that comes mostly from diatoms, which are tiny algae that live in the water. So when you have a bloom of those diatoms in the water and you pass your hand through it, drop a rock, sweep a line, have a fish swim through it, you get a glow in the water.
And it looks like Star Wars. When you come up and, you know, the laser pistols going back and forth in the movie screen, when you're out there and you're idling your boat along and all of a sudden you get into a school of fish and they all dart away, it's literally like a scene from Star Wars. I used to make money by taking people out. I would throw a cast net and it's like a flashbulb going off. Now, when we fish and this phosphorescence is in the water, this natural glowing, and the fish see the line glowing and the bait's down there and you move it and everything's aglow. Is this kind of what they call St. Elmo's fire?
No, St. Elmo's fire is an actual electrical effect.
Okay.
But it does have a somewhat similar look.
So what we're doing is I've seen that where that happens and the fishing is just god-awful. They see the line, it's glowing, they got the everything. Now, I'm going to go along with, I don't think it's going to hurt. I doubt if it's going to help much unless you're in hundreds of feet of water or it's exceptionally murky water. Now, in murky water, it probably won't help either because in real dirty, stained, muddy water, the glow is not going to penetrate more than a couple inches. The fish would literally have to stumble upon it to find it. But let's say you had very clear water and it was very deep and dark. In that aspect, I can see the glow helping. But under most circumstances, I think it's cool. I don't really know if it'd help or hurt.
If we go out and do something like sword fishing or tuna fishing, especially at night, where those animals are going to be targeting, in a lot of cases, prey that has bioluminescent organs.
Like then squid.
Absolutely. Squid that glow, little fish that glow.
And they flash back and forth. They talk to each other. They got like, you know when you see on the movies and the aliens are coming, they're flashing the lights back and forth, trying to communicate with the aliens? That's how fish, squid already talk. If they live for more than a few months, they would probably come out of the water and attempt to take us over. I mean, we know our robot overlords and our, you know, Google masters are, you know, eventually going to invent robots to take us over. But I think they're going to have a hard time with the squid. Because if they get one more half step on the evolutionary ladder, squid and octopus are coming out of the water. They're going
to
get us.
Right. Or if we manage to kill ourselves off with some kind of bioweapon gone wrong, squid might be the next ones to take over the planet as the intelligent species.
Yeah, squid or octopus, one or the other is going to get us. All right, we've done another two down. Let's see. What's a color on here, RJ, that you wouldn't think of as a color? Well, I'm pretty sure purple is a color. I was trying to get to the one that you wouldn't. Okay,
I think
here's
he took
hook.
It as which one wouldn't you fish with?
Right, so right. That's where I was going with that.
Why did you grab purple?
You know, unless again you're fishing for heavy metal fish, I mean, the shiny purple is like where do you find
shiny purple?
You keep
going back to your 70s.
Yeah, so where do you find shiny purple in nature? You know.
I don't think these are that shiny, are they?
Yeah, they're not shiny. They're still purple.
They're
okay,
purple.
So where do we find shiny purple in nature? And where do we find it specifically in Charlotte Harbor? We find it on pass crabs, which have iridescent purple legs. We find
look at the big brain on him.
And just when I was missing Robert, he just filled the void completely.
We find it on a couple species of mantis shrimp, which have shiny purple eyes and sometimes purple legs also. We find it in some species of killifish that have shiny purple as part of their breeding coloration. So there's definitely some options there for shiny purple.
Well, I stand corrected. That's pretty hard. So I understand now why you would have purple hooks.
No, it's actually not that. My reasoning is actually different.
Okay.
Years and years ago, Mirror Lure came out with, back in the 80s, a purple demon lure. And it's about this color purple. It's a really cool, deep purple, dark purple. And purple has the most unusual color. And what it does is you don't catch as many fish with purple. Seriously. I'm actually going to pull purple out when I'm not looking to catch as many fish. What I am looking for with purple is to catch larger fish. Noticeably larger fish than I will catch on white and black and silver and gold. Let's say if I was going to catch 10 fish on silver or gold, and they're 3 pounds. If I use purple, I'm going to probably catch 6 or 7 fish, but they're going to be noticeably larger. Instead of like 6, they'll be 7 or 8 pounds. Dramatically bigger fish, less numbers is what purple's always about. And I've seen that over and over again, time and time again.
Yeah, Josh just handed me a DOA. What is this one?
That's a Calshad.
A Calshad.
I don't know what that purple color is called, but it's purple for sure.
It's definitely
it's like,
purple.
Hey, man.
It's got little shiny
that's
things in it.
Far out.
I would have called it Purple Ringer if I'd have named it. But.
Yeah. It's really cool, man. Far out, baby. I like it. All right. Let's see. All right. We did that. Now, Josh, in a different vein, what hook do you see here that you would not think of as a color?
Well, I don't really think of the black as being a color. I think of it more as being the absence of color. Even though these are shinier blacks, there might be some reflection, but I don't think the fish are going to pick up on a lot of color from those.
Well, you guys continue to surprise me. Now, I'm going to think, are you talking about these here, the VMC, we've got sports circle hooks?
Yes, and you put two things up here. You also put some trocars that are shiny black.
Right. And there's a bit of a difference. The VMC is a duller black. It doesn't have the reflective capabilities. The trocar is very, very reflective. When you move these, you can the light just
it's
screams
like a diamond
off it.
Black.
Yeah. And that's why I took the two of those. The VMC is a duller black. It's not as bright and shiny. It's more of a more matte black finish. When you put the VMC and the owner next to each other, they look identical hook-wise, model-wise, bend-wise, but the VMC doesn't have as bright. But one of the brightest black is the trocar. It's shiniest black. It's, I mean, you can see it in the light. It just reflects. But I'm not sure that, you know, it's really funny. I thought, you ever notice you get people in a room and everybody's got a different opinion? That wasn't neither. You picked the purple, and then you picked Josh picked the black. It was kind of unusual. Now the black hooks, I think, is the most. Oh, you got a thumb pick or a finger pick there? They do a lot of the shows on the mighty WKDW here. Has they do a lot of live music broadcasts? And we're finding finger picks here.
I find things on the floor. It's one of my hobbies.
Yeah, we used to call it ground squirrels when I was back working on the carnivals. I think black is the most used color right now. I think that's most often bought, and I mean, I'm 90% sure if our store is any representation of what people are buying nowadays hook-wise, black is probably number one.
And when I ask people about that, most of the time they say not because they're trying to hide the hook from the fish, but because they've been told that these black finishes are going to be more resistant to rusting, more resistant to corrosion. And so that's why they're going with them.
Well, the black chrome finish, and it's a nickel black, black chrome, is highly resistive to corrosion. But it's just, any idea why somebody would use black hooks, RJ?
I would think it's what people are thinking is they're going to hide the hook because it's black and you're not going to see it, or it's going to blend in with the bait fish.
I don't know.
Well, if I'm using a bait fish and I want to hide a hook, then black is going to stand out a little bit more. I want
and
something
I would say
that,
even with shrimp, black is a very distinct color.
It's bold. It's
you know,
dark.
We think of black as nighttime and, you know, all that. But if you're fishing during the day, I would think most everything's kind of lit up, and black is standing out as easily as much as white.
Yeah, a bronze hook or something in a matte silver finish would probably stand out less than the black hook does.
Yeah, I think black is one of the most standout colors. Now, does it corrode less? Is it more of a good dollar value? Absolutely. But I think the black color actually stands out, and I've seen cases where black can be the best color hook to use, and actually seen cases where it is the worst color hook to use, as in sometimes trout fishing. I catch a lot of small, little tiny trout, I mean 10, 11 inch trout on the black hooks, and then I catch bigger hooks on the other, or bigger trout on the other colors. But it seems like the young ones don't really care what the color is, but then you get into the bigger ones and
well, there's
the
a reason
color,
they're
bigger.
There's
one.
A reason they're bigger ones.
I can fool them better with my colors.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of colors,
yeah.
You asked both of us the same question. Neither one of us had the answer you were looking for. So what is the color here that isn't a color?
Well, to me, it would be bronze. bronze is kind of the most neutral of all of them. It's sort of a, you know, a brown. But those bronze colors to me are kind of that tweener in between. They're not bright. They're not dark. It's just a kind of a neutral color. And bronze to me is, you know, yeah, black and, you know, the purple, the ones we talked about. But to me, it was just kind of the non-color.
And here's the way to figure that, okay? Let's take all of these hooks out of the packages and dump them out onto this carpet and see which ones are going to be the easiest to find.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think bronze would be one of the harder ones to find.
I think it would be, too. I think we're going to have a real hard time with that. Some people are going to get their toes stabbed on bronze hooks.
And I've always, in my career, I've always fished bronze hooks.
Yeah. Now, they do rust more often and faster than other colors. The best thing to do is get that Flambeau three-snap tray for your hooks. And always keep the blue tabs, the blue dividers that are in there. They have the anti-rust stuff in those blue plastic things. If you go, oh, well, I got this, and you throw away all the blue tabs you're not using, you're giving away what you paid for, the rust preventative. Right.
Flambeau calls that Z-Rust.
Z-Rust, yes.
It actually does work remarkably well. I will say, if you're using the Flambeau watertight ones...
The watertight one is the one I'm talking about.
Make sure that you try to rinse off any hooks that you might use in salt water, because even with the Z-Rust, they still will get rusty in one specific place, which is right underneath the barb.
Yeah, it traps a little bit of stuff there.
Yep. It stays and it holds, and the Z-Rust gases can't get to it.
Gotcha. That's a good point. I wouldn't have thought about under the barb at the most, one of the more critical points, because that's where the fish is being held by.
Right.
So, really good point, Josh.
Ask me how I know.
Isn't that always the case when somebody comes out, this is what's going to happen. Right. I have no idea why I know this. I don't know why I've been fishing and the fish all started coming off and the barbs were gone, the point fell off, but you know.
That's what happened. The points fell off the hooks.
Isn't that amazing? Okay. Sticking with the bronze for a minute here. Kaylee hooks. These are a wide gap, or if you buy them for fluke flounder up in the Northeast, they're Kaylee, K-A-H-L-E. H-L-E, yeah. All right. It's a 37140 Mustad, 37140 BR. And it is, I use them from freshwater shiners for bass fishing. I use them anytime I'm putting a bait under a float, bobber, popping cork. This is literally the most amazing hook. If you've got somebody who's trying to fish under a bobber and they're having a hard time hooking up fish, hooks 99% of the time in the top right corner of the mouth on the fish.
They're a little bit like a circle hook. They're not a circle hook, but...
You set the hook or not set the hook. Either way is good.
Yeah, but the point comes back towards the shank. It actually points right back at the eye on a Kaylee hook. So they are a little bit of getting used to. I've seen a lot of people try to fish shiners for bass and try to set these hooks upward.
They go too small.
And yeah, they go too small. But trying to set these hooks upward is a challenge. We've had much better success with sweeping it out to the side and keeping the rod tip low. And it's hard to train people to do that. But especially when you're fishing with big natural baits, it works a lot better.
Well, with shrimp, I haven't seen it make...
With shrimp, it probably won't. Because once it's got it in its mouth, it's in its mouth.
Yeah, with trout, jacks, ladyfish, snook, I mean, you name the fish. Those Kaylee hooks, to me, under a bobber. Now, they work great if you're on the bottom. But it is my favorite, all-time favorite hook anytime I'm floating the bait with something. And they're like $1.89 a pack. I mean, you could be more suspicious if it was the $10 a pack. And I'm telling you, oh, this is the greatest hook ever, you know. Underneath the bobber, you got to buy this one. They're $1.89, not $10 or $14.
And you're getting 10 in the pack. So we're less than 20 cents a hook.
Yeah, they're 18 cents. So even if they rust a little bit, you're not out a lot, people. You fish with Kaylee hooks up in the Northeast,
yes,
right?
Uh-huh.
That's the fluke flounder hook.
That's the fluke flounder hook. It works really well because of the way flounder grab bait. And the wind, the shape of their mouth. I mean, it just, it, you get more secure hookups and more regular hookups.
I don't mean to, but I'm sipping on your your thank you. So
I've even seen jig heads that are made specifically for flounder fishing that use Kaylee hooks, and that instead of having the hook point be in an upright position, it's in a side position. So it's designed to hook a flounder the way he's already oriented. Mm. I haven't tried those because when we have a really good flounder year, I may pick some up and give them a shot. But as it's been, our flounder season has been kind of lackadaisical.
And it's not my favorite hook for pompano, but what's amazing is almost every factory pompano rig comes with Kaylee hooks on it. And, I mean, when you go down, you go into the store and it says, you know, pompano rig, there's two Kaylee hooks there. And it's not my favorite pompano rig, but somewhere along the line,
maybe it's easier to put a sand flea on?
I don't know. I have no idea why it is. But when you look at a pompano rig, they've got those 37-140 hooks on them, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I understand it for flounder, because like you say, RJ, it goes with the way their mouth, the way they hit and everything. I'm trying to figure out now on sea trout, jacks, and all that because of the way they hit. Pompano is such a different mouth, such a different bite. I don't get the connection, and it's something happened before my time. Anybody can put it together?
Well, and it really doesn't make sense when you look at a pompano's mouth, which is small and terminal, as opposed to a flounder's mouth, which flounder have a big mouth for their size, and it's got an extension on it, kind of like a bass mouth does, where that lip will slide out, and they can really open their mouth wide. Usually with fish that have wide gapes like that, with snook, with bass, with flounder, big, wide hooks work really well. But a pompano has that small terminal mouth. You'd think we're using something as small as possible to try to catch these things.
I feel for that pompano. I have that terminal mouth, too.
This is different. This is
not
a mouth that can get you killed. This is a mouth at the end of its face.
As long as Schumer doesn't do speeches about me, I feel pretty safe. Let's see. Staying in with the bronze, we did the Kaylee. This is a plain shank, standard shank, plain shank, J-hook, and Eagle Claw. Nice, just normal hook. They come in a variety of sizes. We've used for when it was legal to use J-hooks for grouper. It was actually, you're trying to tear the pack up and make so I can't see it. Is that what it is? I tore the pack up, Frank. You can't, but I didn't do it.
I was trying to pry it open, not on microphone.
Oh. I thought he was trying to hide like he wanted to rip the bag up, and I'm not supposed to notice. And it's an Eagle Claw. So what does Eagle Claw mean? Offset.
Yep.
No.
You
want to go with off? Who wants to explain offset?
It's a lot easier to explain when you're looking at it, so I'll give that a shot. So imagine that we take a hook that doesn't have any kind of offset to it, just a plain old hook that if you lay it on a table on either side, it's going to look the same. If it didn't have the eye in the way, the hook would lay completely flat to the table. And then we take a pair of pliers and we grab the bend and we push the eye downwards to give the hook a little bit of a kink, a little bit of an offset here to it. And the idea behind the offset is that when you're pulling it, it's going to be easier for the point to dig in somewhere in the fish. So it's supposed to be easier to set. And these offset hooks come in not only these J-hook styles, but also in a bunch of circle hook styles. And it's tricky when you're buying circle hooks to make sure that you're buying legal circle hooks, because offset circle hooks are specifically banned when you're fishing for reef fish or for sharks. So it can be challenging sometimes to determine whether your hook is offset or not, just looking at it in a package.
Yeah, the things to look for if it's in the package is inline or tournament. If it says inline circle hook, that means the point of the hook points directly at the shaft of the hook. If it says tournament hook, that means it's an inline. It's tournament legal, Florida legal hooks. But a lot of them say offset because a lot of people cannot get a hook set with a circle hook.
And the problem
is patient.
Yeah, if you let a circle hook do what a circle hook is supposed to do, then you're not setting the hook at all. You're letting the fish do the job of setting the hook itself. And if you have the patience to do that, then you're usually rewarded with a really good hook set somewhere in the corner of the fish's mouth that's going to be very stable. It's hard for a fish to throw a circle hook. But if you have an offset circle hook, then you can still set that hook. You can still jerk with the rod. The point will bite in someplace. You get the advantage of having a good, stable hook set. But the big disadvantage is, the big advantage of circle hooks, the reason that they're required legally, is that you're less likely to hook a fish deep. You're less likely to gut hook them. You're less likely to gill hook them. Not impossible, but less likely.
Well, the thing about a true inline circle hook, the theory is it works on the turning of the fish. As fish strike, they're usually going to the left. They're going at the bait, and when they strike, they sweep to the left-hand side, making a circle or whatever going around to the left. I don't know why that is, but I think that's the way most fish do it, isn't it? They don't go to the right, they go to the left.
Having kept fish in aquariums, I never noticed the difference between right and left. Okay. Unless they had a particular hidey cave that only allowed them to turn one way or the other.
But when the fish goes to strike and they swallow it, what a circle hook is supposed to do is, as they swallow it and it goes down their stomach, is come all the way back up. And as the line's going out the corner of the mouth, as he's doing this circular, right or left, it comes around the corner of the mouth and snags there.
Because there's a gap between the point and the shank. And that's the only way for something to get hooked, is to get in between that gap. So it has to be something very narrow, like the corner of the fish's mouth.
Making it very difficult, if not impossible, to get the hook out. Circle hooks were designed about 3,000-4,000 years ago as a catch and kill hook. Only econauts would describe the world's most efficient catch and kill hook as the best catch and release hook. It's absolutely not. Depends on what you're doing, what you're fishing for, how you're doing it, what you're doing it with. And the biggest reason is most of the time you actually have to rip that hook out of a fish. You can't easily or safely remove it from a fish without doing, in my opinion, sometimes a lot more damage to the fish than what would otherwise be done, because it rotates in, but it has to rotate out.
And with a hook straight out of the package, I definitely agree with you. It is very difficult to get that hook out without causing a more serious injury in many cases. And most hook out devices don't work with circle hooks.
And the ones that do are straight out ripping it out of the fish.
But
tearing it out, ripping it out, not lightly removing it, not, you know, okay, I'm going to push down and let the barb come back out, nice and easy and safe. You literally have to tear it out of the fish.
With one small modification, I can make almost any circle hook a great catch and release device.
Bend the barb down.
Bend the barb down.
Yep. Don't flatten it or crush it.
You want a bump.
You need a bump. And it takes practice. It's not as easy as it sounds. You got to really look, get right at the very, very tiny edge of the barb. We've been doing in the sun sharks for years and years and start expanding it out to a lot of other fish. Barbless hooks suck. Hooks with barbs on can be really bad. What we've done is create a bump culture.
Yeah, and it's amazing how well it actually works. And I wish one of the major manufacturers would come out with a circle hook that has that bump in place and explain why it's there.
I talked to him. The problem with it is it has to be made into the mold, because shanks right now are sliced in and bent out. They literally just bend.
Right.
It's very quick, very simple to do a bump barb. And I've had my designs in front of, VMC and Mustad and all that. And they would actually have to, it has to be poured into the mold when they mold the fish or mold the hook. And it's very tough when you're doing forged stuff like that to get that molded in.
Gotcha.
No one's actually been able to figure out how to make this work yet. But I've had in front of the manufacturers a lot of different times over the last 15 years. Well, started doing it in 99, 2000. So we've been doing it a while, and you just really got to You know, we wish they could become up. Nobody's figured it out.
And since they don't, that's why I always carry my pliers with me. When we're circle hook fishing, unless I'm using very small circle hooks and going snapper fishing, in which case I usually leave them on there because we lose a lot of fish anyway. Otherwise, I'm definitely mashing those down to just a bump. And you got to be careful with the hooks you buy, because some hooks, where the metal is more brittle, it doesn't want to bend into a bump. It wants to snap right off.
Yep. And we've seen that a lot. One of the, what used to be, well, before I get into that, because that's kind of cool. Got three colors here. Chartreuse, pink, and white. Now, to me, we had black, we had the purple. I usually have two of these on the boat. Now, to me, one of the other colors, you know, white, I don't know. I'm usually going to have chartreuse and pink on the boat. And then I'm going to have black. If I'm going out fishing, it's usually chartreuse, pink, and black are the three things that I'm taking away with me. It seems to be a good broad spectrum. And I've caught fish on both ends of that, from the black to the pink or the chartreuse. But I like having the different colors. I think it gives me a lot more options, kind of the basis of this. But I think we only got, what, 5 minutes left?
About 7 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to go back up into the
tower. Here, before you go back up, look at this hook and tell me what you think, because I got two of these here, those two.
Let me say that it was commonly heard on my house on a Saturday. I'm going to go fishing, and my wife would say, you didn't take all your daughter's little rubber bands from her braces again, did you?
You're stealing, and I met your daughter for the first time
the
other day. Amazing, very nice young lady.
But how crooked are her teeth?
She actually got beautiful teeth.
Okay, then he didn't steal them all.
So you didn't quite get all of the rubber bands from her braces, because she's a very attractive young lady. So, and you know, outside of, there was only like one or two teeth snaggle tooth. You know, the rest of them were all just pretty. So, what were you doing with the rubber bands from her braces?
If you take the rubber band from the braces, because they've got this big stretch, but they're not real big. They look like little O-rings, and they got quite a bit of stretch to them. You loop it through the eyelet, and then you bring it down to the barb, and you've got this great weedless hook.
There you go. All right, and it leaves your daughter with only one or two wonky teeth.
That's
the rest
right.
of them all
That's
look
right.
gorgeous.
Yeah. But the kid ate plenty of fish in her life, especially bass.
Well, that shows in the healthy glow. So, what do you think, Josh? Now, you're going to have to tell us which two hooks are there, because I don't remember the names of the
model numbers. So, we're looking at a VMC Wacky Weedless with the resin closed eye, which is clearly meant for wacky rigging a worm when you're fishing for bass in heavy vegetation. And then a Mustad W3369A Weedless Long Shanked Bronze Hook. Both of these use a wire weed guard. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of these wire weed guards, having missed way too many fish on hooks that have them.
Okay. RJ, fan or not fan of the...
I don't like the wired weedless hooks. I don't think they work as well as just sticking a simple rubber band on it.
Okay. So why I brought this, the Wacky Worm Weedless Hook, it is also very close to a short shank octopus hook. What we would use with white bait, thread fins, even quite often with shrimp, a short shank, easy to hide hook, but sometimes you get in amongst those weeds or even around bushes and stuff, and you want that little bit of the point. It's going to be harder to get that point stuck in the plants, you know, that weed guard. So you can actually use these. They're $4, and there's, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... I think, yeah, 5 pieces for $4. It's not bad for as far as saltwater hooks go. But if you forget that it's a worm hook and think of it as a weedless white bait hook, now it's breaking a little new territory. And jacks, trout, well, not trout, but say snook or redfish, they close their jaw pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that wire guard is going to be as much of a problem as if we were bass fishing, where I don't think you get that good hard clamp down with the bass that you do on a snook or redfish. So, looking at it again, Mr. Josh, white bait, weedless hook?
Yeah, I don't trust it. That's why I popped the package
don't
open
trust
to
it,
see.
Or...
I popped the package open to see how much spring tension there is against those weed guards, and there's a lot of spring tension there. I don't trust being able to hook fish with this readily. I believe it will probably protect against vegetation, unlike that less expensive Mustad that has a lot less spring tension on it. But I think it's also going to
I
be...
I think on redfish, if you're fishing a shrimp or a whitebait, we've got a lot of weeds and stuff, that hook is going to be awesome for as far as keeping you out of the weeds. And redfish are so darn vicious, they're coming down on that hook. RJ, yes or no?
Well, here. I'd have to say that there's certain saltwater species... Certain saltwater species have a good, solid, hard bite, and that little wire is not going to make a lot of difference. But I primarily use weedless hooks in freshwater, and I just wouldn't.
Now, these are the two hooks we're going to go about, Max.
Okay.
All right. There you go, Josh. All right, now, sorry, I was up showing RJ. He's back up in his tower. It's a long way up those, you know, that spiral staircase you got to go to get up there.
And
it's
we don't tell ways. We don't tell Frank where the elevator is.
Well, keeps me trim. All right, this is a dual thing in here. We have two hooks. Obviously, one gold, the other one silver. I can remember when almost everybody bought silver hooks.
Yes.
And
that was the thing. That was the big deal that was available. I mean, I remember seeing very, very few other options.
You know, but there was bronze, there was gold, there was...
Well, you couldn't trust gold because gold was always applied afterwards and gold always covered the hook point. So you'd have to go in and sharpen your gold hooks before you could use them.
True enough. Now... With these, when you're looking at these silver and gold hooks, I like sheephead. I like gold hooks. To me, they're the least used of any color because the vast majority, let me get my mouth working right, the vast majority of hooks are sold. They're no longer gold, and the one gold hooks that are sold are bent wire. They're not a forged hook. Now... They don't hold up for sheephead. They're great for crappies and bluegills and stuff like that. But as the fish shake their head, they won't hold up. They'll bend out straight. This is a 92671 Mustad beak hook. And it, to me, is a very good hook for sheephead. And it's a color nobody uses. When's the last time you saw somebody with a silver hook on their line? Very seldom.
I see it on the pier with people who have no idea what they're doing. And usually it's about a 7-aught.
Yeah. Monster hook. Now, the other thing that's different about these is we have a slice shank and we have a beak. If you're looking at them from a distance, you can't tell there's a difference outside one's silver and one's gold. But the huge part about this, they used to call it a bait holder hook. And I always thought it was funny. The guy said, oh, I want the bait holder hook. And they would hang their bait down in the bottom of the bend. And
right. That's not where your bait holder barbs are.
The bait holder barbs are sliced into the shank. And it was meant for like threading a night crawler on, threading a bait up the hook. Not just sticking the point through it. The bait holder really didn't do any good. Kind of weird that, you know, I look at guys who throw double drop rigs out there. Josh, one of your favorite rigs in the world, a porgy rig. And they have a hook down by the bottom, and they go up a foot and a half or so. They put another hook there, cast it up front of them, think one's up off the bottom, and the other's down on the...
Right.
How's it going to float unless you put a float on it?
Yeah. So, if you cast anyway, it horizontal, guess what? It's horizontal.
Fish and Frank's right here. Josh Olive, the Fish Coach. It's fishcoachnot.net.
Fishcoach.net. Yes, sir.
You can get him to go out with you in your backyard in a boat. He goes out in the Gulf. He goes out in the harbor. He goes along the beaches. If you need someone to help you in your fishing endeavors, Josh Olive, the Fish Coach. Fishcoach.net. And in the chrome and gold ivory towers of power, coming way up at the top of the spiral staircase. I didn't know there was an elevator.
There's an escalator around back, too.
Well, RJ. And... Bye, Mom. It was Goodbye, Mom. See you, boys and girls. Bye-bye.